Blog Talk Radio.
Revolution is the solution. If you work in corporate America, be a revolutionary. If you work in government, be a revolutionary. Gather material, gather information, learn everything you can. If you got a high level of security clearance, you can go in doors that other Negroes can't go in. You go in and see whatever you can see. And then bring it back to your black community so that we can be all that we can really be. Be a revolutionary in whatever you do. This chapter should grow overnight. Every one of you that is not a member should join today. What else do you have to do? You say, well, I'm too old. You're not too old. We need you. We need your wisdom. We need your maturity. You say, I'm too young. We need you. We need your fire. We need your spirit. We need your zeal. You say, well, I'm middle age. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. I say, you're just right.
That's right.
For what needs to be done at this time, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called the time and what must be done.
Yeah.
The time and what must be done. I want to cover the 10-point program and platform and cover a few things with you. Why is the new Black Panther Party talking about God?
Go ahead.
Some of the original Panthers angry with us because we talk about God. They say ain't no religion in the Black Panther Party. That ain't, you ain't supposed to have no religion. You're a fool.
Right.
We don't want to do nothing where God is not at the center. You will never build a mass movement among black people if you leave God out of your movement.
Right.
It's silly. That's why all kind of lumping activity can crop up. That's why we end up with tons of drugs on top of our heads. Brought in by COINTELPRO, K. Edgar Hoover. That's what I said, K. Edgar Hoover. K. Edgar Hoover and the modern day Hoovers. Coming.
And we welcome you to today's edition of the Black Power Truth Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Brother Anthony. Glad that you could join us here. The show, of course, is always sponsored by the New Black Liberation Militia. You can hear the show also at blogtalkradio.com/NBLM. We're here every Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call us to talk is 453-9457. Our topic today is how do we build a collective point of view? We'll be getting to that in just a minute. We have one of our brothers on the line right now. Looks like it's Brother Trey. How you doing, Brother Trey, Black Power?
Peace, Black Power, Brother Anthony. How you doing?
I'm good. Anything to – you have a topic you wanted to speak upon today?
Oh, you know, the topic that's up for discussion is definitely a important topic. You know, we talk about building unity, not with just awaken the sleeping masses, but also building unity with the like-minded organizations that we have around us. And even though some of us may be spread out as far as NBLM goes, there's all type of other black nationalists, black formations that we can build with on a local level and still achieve the revolutionary mission that we have in reaching the people. Black Power.
Black Power. You know, the thing that I think it can be kind of frustrating, and I think that's for all of us, is that I think all of us fundamentally are on the same page in regard to seeing, you know, the liberation of our people, but everybody has different methods. Everybody has different ways of interpreting or misinterpreting. I've always said you know, in many instances, the Bible is the most interpreted and misinterpreted book of all time. You know, whether it's the Holy Bible, the Quran, or any other of the Bibles, whoever you whoever you worship as someone as having a higher being, we all have the same fundamental belief in someone or something that's bigger than ourselves. But where we lose it is where I think, and this happens a lot in our movement, where, well, if you don't believe in what I believe, then you're a fool, or if you don't believe in what I believe, your God is wrong, my God is the true God, and everything else. And it seems like we get so caught up in that. Now, we're used to seeing that amongst, white folks, but when you start seeing it as well amongst black folks, to me, it's like, look, at the end of the day, we're all worshiping the same God, but also we're all trying to strive to better ourselves and to uplift our people.
Black power, absolutely, brother. You said that, we have the same mission a lot of times. We don't, have the same way of going about accomplishing or achieving that mission, which is absolutely correct. But, we have to do our due diligence and match actions with words. And, there's a lot of people that say things, and if you look around, there's very few people that's actually doing things. And so I think that, actions will always speak louder than words. And, we align ourselves with the people who's actually doing the action that matches the words and achieving the actual goal. We spend too long sitting around debating each other over, the right way or the wrong way. And in that meantime, while we sitting around debating who's right or who's wrong, the people are still hurting. The people are still in need. Mm-hmm. So we still have to be revolutionary minded and defeat the ego that may come up and who's better than who, like that those type of divisions we need to put to rest as soon as they become an issue, so that the work is getting done, and then everything else is second to that. Black Paul,
I agree, Cole. And also, this is something that happened even before this orange fool that sits in the White House, is that there are distractions, and we get so caught up in the distractions, whether it's all the stuff regarding the whole Cosby thing about a week ago, and now we got this Kavanaugh thing going on as well. To me, and this is something that flew under the radar, but it shouldn't. The president, in a sense, was able to tap into every cell phone in the country yesterday in regards to sending out a warning alert or what have you. Now, I'm cynical enough to think that, to me, that's dangerous, especially a man like him to have access to all of our phones. When you realize that we're already under some sort of surveillance as it is within this government, it's been going on for years. But to put that kind of power and stuff with this guy, to me, that's more dangerous than any war we can start or get into, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, but so, I definitely see that message, as him showing his, flexing his muscle, I would say. But there's a lot of things that's going on that really aren't what they seem on the surface. And like I said before, we have to be able to do our due diligence in deciphering what's best for the people while, you know, they're the things that they have going on with this Brett Kavanaugh and all that. That to me is their problem. We have our issues to work out, but in the same sense, not to downplay anything you just said, we have to keep an eye on that type of on the type of the deceptive nature of our enemy.
Yeah, and see, it, again, to me, it goes back to something that you had said a while back, in the sense of what we focus on. And again, I get a lot of that. Again, it has to do back to what you were talking about in regards to due diligence. It's, you know, when we focus on such trivial stuff, and then we allow something that's very, very important, literally and figuratively, slide by. You still there, sir?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what the last you said.
Well, no, basically, you know, I was piggybacking on something that you had said a while back when you were on before, is that, you know, and it's similar to what you had just said in regards to doing our due diligence and paying attention to important stuff that we have to deal with directly. And like you said, it's not that the Kavanaugh thing may not deal, it's not something, yes, it's something we have to deal with, maybe not directly all the time, but we get so caught up in some of these silly things that we allow more important things to go by, you know, without paying the same amount of attention to it, and I think we lose out because of that.
Yeah, we definitely have the, you know, getting off task, going down and dealing with trivial issues. Doing a lot more debating than necessary, but you know, like we've been saying, it's really past time for to do the work, and you know, that's why this calling for a collective unity amongst all the like-minded people is such a necessary thing. You know, we could try to put all the weight on the NBLM and say, well, things aren't getting done because this organization here or that organization here, but when we focus our resources and our good intentions all in the right direction, you know, whether it be the NBLM or the Huey P. Newton Gun Club or a combined effort of both, or you know, whoever it is, whoever's getting the work done, and that those are the people that we all need to strive to be more like.
I agree. And it's the thing I think that can also be something that we need to try to focus on even more so is, you know, making sure that the young folks realize what's going on as well. Because, you know, yeah, we're a little bit older, and yes, you know, yes, we still have a big say in what's going on, but a lot of what's going to happen to us as a people is going to depend on how the youngsters react. And what's kind of sad in some instances is that there's a lot of apathy. Now, granted, there's a lot of kids out there that do know what's going on and want to be a part of it, but there's so many that are just lost and they don't know. And what's worse to me, Brother Trey, is that they don't want to know. You know, how do we try to relate to them? How do we try to let them understand that, you know, you have a huge stake in your future, probably more than you even realize.
Right. Well, you know, the best thing we can do for the upcoming generation, man, is show them an example. You know, they'll have the books of our great leaders like Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Marcus Messiah Garvey, El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. They'll be able to read about those brothers for centuries to come, but what they won't have the ability to see is the example that they left and the impression that they left on people around them. So we have to take that burden up and give the youth an example to show them that, you know, you are loved, you are cared about. We will protect you. We will defend you. And this is how you should do your children and your seed. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. And up until now, I mean, this black people have no self-preservation. There's no plan for the longevity or the continuation of the black nation as far as I'm concerned. We have no economic base, no infrastructure. And so building this is at ground zero with this. You know, after other formations have come and gone, they taught us the lessons that we needed to know to be able to navigate this and steer it to a promising future. So we definitely have to be at the forefront, the vanguard of this movement, and make things happen for the next generation. Black Power.
Black Power. I might have asked you this before, but I think it's worth asking again. You know, what got you started in being a revolutionary? What made you? How were you gravitated toward MBLM?
You know, I spent time in the U.S. military, and they always told us things we were doing were for the freedoms of the country, anywhere in the world that we were at. And I didn't see it that way. What I saw contradicted that statement. So coming back to the United States and seeing the way that the young Trayvon Martin was gunned down by a vigilante and the way that the justice system treated that incident, I didn't sign up to potentially give my life in defense of a country that wouldn't lift a finger to defend people who look like me. So I needed to find the revolution.
And, you know, there's so many folks like yourself. You know, my dad was a Marine, and I know, you know, later on in his life he always talked about the regret that he had in serving this country, and granted, he served in a somewhat different time back then, but in many ways, even though it was a quote-unquote different time, not much has changed. And I think the thing that bothered him the most, and I'm sure it's the same way for you, is that the hypocrisy of the military, of them trying to push the idea that you are fighting for something, you know, you're fighting for something worthwhile. But then you realize the kind of treatment that many soldiers got, especially the black soldiers got, when they came back, you know. And you were already dealing with mess before you went over to serve. And you figured, okay, I'll go over, I'll serve the country, and that'll make a difference. But again, I don't want to keep repeating words, but the hypocrisy of dedicating yourself to something and then to be, you know, betrayed.
You know, it's definitely a betrayal that you feel from the U.S. government. You know, they have always treated black people as an underclass, a second class, except during the time of their wars when they call upon the might and the warrior spirit of the black man to win their wars against, you know, other peoples who are poor and downtrodden and really just want to defend, you know, the only semblance of a homeland, a sovereign nation that they have left. And so, you know, you realize that you've been used as a weapon, as a tool for white supremacy to spread across the world. And that's one thing we have to stop. in his tracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to talk to a young person who was actually thinking about, you know, going into the service, whether, you know, depend, you know, whatever branch or what have you, what would you tell him or her? What would be some of the things that you would tell them, you know, to try to almost to basically sort of dissuade them from making what could be a fatal life, you know, a fatal, you know, life decision?
You know, normally I would have encouraged them to want to get that, the training and the experience. Nowadays we have, you know,
Log Talk Radio.
I'm about to say, that sounds like
a
Log Talk.
Welcome to Log Talk.
Nowadays we have formations that exist to train the people and get them prepared for the things that are coming. So it's not necessary for them to join the military anymore. They can be trained by the different organizations. I know Huey P. Newton Gun Club trains the people, Guerrilla Mainframe and other black formations are actively training the people. So joining the U.S. Mm-hmm. military for training is no longer a necessity. And so I would always tell the young brothers to thinking about, you know, getting a way out. Stay, learn, and defend your neighborhood, your community where you grew up. And you can reach out to the organizations. I'm pretty sure they will send somebody out or get you the training necessary so that you'll have a chance in whatever situation that you face.
Yeah, and what's crazy, and you said this as well, that the way that they go after these kids, I mean, and you know, they've always done it. I mean, I remember when I was going to school, you would always see, you know, the ROTC folks there, and you would usually around graduation time, they would bring folks in from the military, and they would, you know, they try to, you know, they basically try to sell you on the idea of how you're going to be, you know, fighting for a greater cause and everything like that. And, you know, of course, they're not, you know, when they're trying to sell you that, they're not trying to tell you the total story. They're going to tell you just enough of a story just to get you to join. And again, it's like that. That whole manipulation is almost more of them pushing the manipulation than the actual, you know, than the actual what you're supposedly quote unquote fighting for, in a sense.
You know, our people are described in derogatory terms as crabs in a barrel. And this is one of the links in that barrel. Since a barrel isn't a crab's natural habitat, you know, somebody had to put the crabs there. What that means to me is the society here in America limits the opportunities for the black man so much so that the only outlets our young black men have, if they don't excel in some sports arena, throwing a ball or jumping high, if they don't swallow the indoctrination of the American school curriculum and you know, basically degrade themselves and, you know, learning about how white people describe them as three-fifths of a human being in certain mm-hmm. Time periods of this country, you know, and so they funnel you either into indoctrination camps as far as colleges and universities, to the military, or, you know, the opportunities for you are very limited after that, you know, and they use that to their advantage in indoctrinating the minds of the young black men, and where they will be more loyal to the American flag, where they're more loyal to the anthem, where they're more loyal to the Pledge of Allegiance than they are to their own people, you know. And that's a mental illness that black people suffer from greater than any other race of people, who protect themselves you know, economically and fundamentally, and when it comes to the longevity of their people, of their nation, they will protect themselves by any means, and they have been doing so against the black man for some time. So, you know, it's time that we grab each other up, hold each other accountable, and get to work, Black Power.
Absolutely, Black Power. Just got about a couple more minutes left here. Before I let you go, if there was a message that you wanted to send out to folks, just black folks in general, to be aware or to be cognizant of, what would that one message be?
In a short period of time, our ancestors hit the actual 400-year mark. In these 400 years, our enemy has not changed. He's remained constant in his attacks, as brutal and as genocidal as he can be. And so with that knowledge and that evidence, everybody should be preparing for war. That's the best advice that I can give at this time, Black Belt.
But I couldn't agree more. I appreciate your time with us today, you know, being able to, you know, spread the word the way you have. We're here again. We're here every Thursday here on blogtalkradio.com. This has been another edition of the Black Power Truth Hour. I'm your host, Brother Anthony. I hope you enjoyed this edition. We'll be back again next Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on blogtalkradio.com. Have a great evening.
I went to St. Louis, Missouri the other day. They had Black Panthers from all over the country. No one knew about it at all. They had machine guns, recoilless rifles, grease guns, Lugers, 25 of them, all armed. And the chief of police met me at the airport when I arrived, and they were there, right there at the steps. He said, "You were violating the law." "Yeah, we're violating the law." He said, "We're tired of our white and black leaders, Jackie and Martin and Bobby, being killed. We're going to protect this man while he's here." And they didn't arrest one of them. Because they said, if you arrest one, then someone's going to die, because we are ready to kill. Black power means black dignity. Just as surely as you are proud to be white, we're proud to be black. Black is beautiful, baby. It's pretty. I always say to my brothers, I say, "Baby, don't worry about the white chicks. We got everything from chalk to charcoal in our own race. You know, see? Black is beautiful. Black is beautiful." Black power means dignity. It means we're going to walk side by side with you or through you. We're going to be with dignity and integrity. We don't want any more than you have, and we're not going to accept any less than you have. That's Black Power.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.